Things are going well here. We continue with our preparations, and maybe if I just pick up on the last item you were making about people adhering to the guidance in terms of non-essential travel, social distancing, and coughing and sneezing etiquette. I couldn't support enough what you're saying there, and emphasise to people that there is no room for complacency, and any issues around numbers and numbers changing. We still need to keep adhering to the HSE guidelines and public health guidelines in order that we stop and slow the spread of this virus. I said, I think on Tuesday, and I've said to everybody, every 24 hours that we delay the spread of this virus gives us a time to prepare better and saves lives. And I suppose the danger always when these sort of restrictions go on for a long time is that people do get a bit restriction fatigue, and if people don't see this or are not immediately aware of people who have got the virus, they may develop a sense of complacency. We can't afford that.
Yeah, and what you do see, Sean, is that you'd almost do a graph on this. In the early couple of days, you know, everyone is sort of compliant and what have you, but you can see the conversation starting to creep into conversation and general discourse. What's wrong with going for a drive if I don't get out of my car? What is wrong with calling round to my friend's house because we've all been following the rules really, really closely? You know, what is wrong with walking 10 kilometres or cycling 50 kilometres because I don't see anyone on the route anymore? And that there's an upward curve in that kind of commentary, and it really actually does talk to restriction fatigue that Tony Houlihan was warning about when everyone wanted this to be introduced 3 weeks ago. You know, obviously there are studies on this, there is evidence of it, and unfortunately we are seeing it now, but this is when we need to double down and buckle down on this.
Absolutely. You know, the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, we've put a lot of effort into preparing at the hospital, and our colleagues in community health also a huge effort in preparation and in primary care. But it's absolutely critical that we push that curve out as far as possible that we do. I know it's a glib phrase now about a phrase about flattening the curve, but not being overwhelmed until we've got our preparations fully in place is absolutely critical, and it will save lives. And I just couldn't emphasise that enough at the moment.
Well, can we go through where we're at now? So, in terms of the hospital, what is your is the ICU capacity really the critical element of this? I presume it is. And where are we at now in terms of your capacity, and where do you want to be, and the time frame?
Okay, so in terms of our ICU capacity, that is obviously absolutely critical. We are now at a stage where, as I spoke the other day about the fact we were ramping up from five ICU beds to 14 ICU beds. We're virtually there. We'll be there this week in terms of the capacity, and we are continuing to work to ramp up to another 4 to 5 beds to get us to 18 or 19. And again, I'm confident that we will be there, depending on some equipment that we're expecting to be delivered the latter part of this week, early next week, that we will be there next week. But obviously, ICU is one element. Having bed capacity in the wards as well is absolutely essential. And that's why we've got the construction of two additional wards. It'll bring an extra 38 beds on stream. And I'm very conscious this is having a huge impact on people with non-COVID health issues, but we have had to take the precaution of deferring non-life-threatening surgeries and other clinical activities in order to free up capacity, and we continue to monitor that. And it's that balance between patients who need immediate care for non-COVID, and also making sure we have sufficient capacity should patients develop symptoms and become ill with COVID or COVID-type symptoms.
Now, last time we spoke, I think you mentioned there may have been six people in ICU. We didn't state, or you didn't state, whether that was COVID-related or not.
No, and we will always have a number of patients in ICU and HDU that... because we would always have some patients
of
there.
Course. So where are you at in terms of the capacity at the moment? Do have you seen an increase in ICU admissions?
Again, we've seen patients coming into ICU, and we've seen patients going out of ICU. Okay. Obviously, the figures in terms of COVID all come through the National Public Health Emergency Team, and they issue those nationally to keep consistency in terms of what's being reported across the country. So at the moment, our ICU is we're managing our capacity well, and we're continuing to build additional capacity. And as the CEO of Sales, Tony Canavan, highlighted yesterday, we've also receiving support from our colleagues in within Saelte in terms of the support for patients and ensuring that we have enough capacity in the hospital.
Are you happy now that you have sufficient PPE equipment, and also in terms of patient care, enough ventilators or any other crucial equipment that may be needed?
We have at this stage, but I go back to my point a few minutes ago that we are still looking to build additional capacity, and some of that additional capacity will not be on stream till towards the end of this week, or more increasingly for Thursday now, so increasingly likely it could be early next week. So the deliveries continue to come in. One of the major achievements this week is we've got a lot more continuity of PPE supply, and we've got clear knowledge of what we're getting over the next number of days. And I think I said before that for us it's about planning ahead. It's not just looking at what we have today, but what we know we will have tomorrow. And we've made major progress in terms of ensuring that continuity as regards what is coming on stream to the hospital on a daily basis.
When do you anticipate a surge? It is inevitable. We hope it's not a high surge. We hope we can control it and that we have numbers going through the hospital that are manageable. But there is a lag in when people contract this awful virus, this disease, and to when they may require treatment in an ICU. So do you have indications as to when you can expect to see that surge?
We have indications, but I suppose the danger here is that these are all projections based on various modelling. It's not a hard science. So again, as with the national projections, the expectation is that things will ramp up significantly over the next two weeks into mid-April. The danger with saying that is that as we flatten the curve, that may push out the peak. And I suppose I'm concerned that if I say, a certain date in April and it occurs a week later, once we get to that date, everybody say, oh, well, it didn't happen, and everybody starts relaxing. Until such time as we're seeing significant drops in the numbers, numbers of patients being tested positive or presenting that are ill, we can't relax our guard on this.
And I understand that, but if we do all, but it does help in that regard. So,
as I say,
if you were wrong in that prediction, it would be because we're listening to the rules. But I fully understand precisely what you're saying. Yeah.
Absolutely. And look, quite frankly, I hope we're wrong on the prediction. I hope we will push that peak out longer, because it gives us ever more time to prepare. There's an awful lot of work going on in terms of recruiting staff. For instance, our HR department are flat out in recruiting additional staff so that we build up our staff complement, that we train the staff, and that everybody is prepared as the peak approaches. But even after the peak, there there will still be a, you know, the peak is the highest number of daily presentations. That doesn't mean after the peak there won't still be continuous daily presentations. So we're going to be busy with this for quite some time. Mm. And having that capacity to deal with that sort of pressure, which is really unprecedented, is absolutely critical for us. And as I go back to that same message, every 24 hours gives us that bit more preparation time, it makes a real difference.